and sit on the wall, and then everybody who's willing to sit down on the floor, if we could try and make a circle as best as possible, so that we're all in vision of each other. Does that make sense? So anybody that needs a chair, please sit here on the pews. And then anybody that's able, please make as tight as possible a circle around here, and still be able to see the whiteboard there. We'll ask Sri Kishore Kishori and the rest of the deities to forgive us if we have our backs to them. Please don't worry. Yeah, please move in as close as possible. We're trying to get cozy here. Circle so that you can still see each other, though. Yeah, so it has to be as wide as everybody having vision of each other. Don't block out the folks that are going to sit in the pews there. Anybody that needs to sit in a chair, please sit on a bench. Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, great. Cool. That's close enough. Okay. So, I'm again very grateful to Sundari Radha, where did she, for inviting me to come and share something, and for Rompad Maharaj for allowing me to be a part of this experience on this side of things. My experience is usually when I'm asked to do something like this, it's not so much for my preaching, but for my purification. So if you guys can forgive whatever awkwardness has to come out of my own experience, hopefully something will be shared between myself and all of us gathered here that uplifts us in our relationship to the Holy Name, to Prabhupada, to our spiritual masters, and to each other. So I wanted to ask everybody to actually go around. So hopefully everyone in the room is going to get to participate and share in a one-word answer, because there's a lot of us, and I've missed the first 2 days of the celebration so far. I was stuck in the woods at Rainbow Gathering, but I escaped from the hippies, and here I am now back in the safe association of the devotees. If you could share one word that characterizes your experience so far here at the Holy Name Festival, and you have the exciting honor of going first, Mata. Just loudly, as so everyone can hear. Oh yeah, transformational. Two if you need.
Lots of info.
Lots of info.
Engaging.
Engaging.
Hot.
Hot. The fire of the Nam Yajna.
Uplifting.
Uplifting.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Shelter?
Shelter. Let's hit the front row here first, and then we'll come back to Jayadevan.
Intentions.
Inspiring.
Now we'll cut back to, see if you guys made a real circle, we wouldn't have to do this kind of
Lots of service.
Lots of service.
Enthusiasm.
Surrender.
Welcomed.
Nice.
Purifying. Intense.
These are usually Hare Krishna euphemisms for hard. Purifying, intense.
Sweet.
Initiated. Haribo! His Grace Admaram Prabhu Ki.
Inspirational.
Lots of knowledge.
Fighting with the mind.
Yeah, it was following you there, yeah. With that sweet smile, it wasn't anyone else. You're fighting your mind, I can tell. Thank you. Fun.
I was supposed to say it's sweet.
Sweet.
Ecstatic.
Let's, don't forget the two in the back row. They'll try to get out of this, but.
Meaningful. Extremely hot. Connection. Peaceful.
Happily struggling. Let's cut back here first before we, yeah.
Joyful.
Determination.
Love.
Carefully striving.
Uplifting. Lot of care.
Okay, now let's cut back to the...
Nice.
Interesting. More Hare Krishna euphemisms. Inspiring.
Unity.
Nice.
Enlivening.
Inspiring.
Enchanting. Fun.
Nice.
Forever inviting.
Inviting.
Reviving. Holy name.
That's a purport.
Peaceful.
Togetherness. Mine would be relieving. Oh, we missed somebody. Thank you. Can you yell loudly? The question was, what has been your experience of the retreat so far? In one word, characterizing it. Connecting or connected? Okay. Jai. Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai. Okay. Thank you all for sharing. I feel more in touch and in tune with the experience so far now because we've done that. So the discussion that I wanted to help us facilitate together is in relationship to our experience of each other. I'd like to share something called the cycle of association. And it's based on my own personal experience, things that I've gathered from devotees that I've met in my 9 years associating. And it's, you'll see, loosely based around Srila Rupa Goswami's framework of the different stages of development of prema. There's 8 steps and a goal. What are those 8 steps? Let's just popcorn them out. Where do we start? Shraddha. Sadhu Sangha. Vajana Kriya. Anartha Nivritti, boo. Nishta. Ruchi. Asakti. Bhav. And then the goal? Prema. Now, who sometimes hears this tier of so-called steps and feels like, wow, I'm really far away from being able to take that step to the next platform, whatever that may be in your devotional life? Yeah, I'll raise my hand too. And who's ever felt discouraged in their Krishna consciousness because the next step or the next level of described experience seems really far away? Have you ever? Okay, yeah. So by discouraged, what we mean is that because it seems so far away, the impetus or the inspiration to take the next practical step that's in front of us doesn't always come. Because it's like, why bother? Right? How long does it take to graduate high school? 4 years. If it took 40 years, would you bother with high school? Right? But that's what we're told, that Krishna consciousness is going to be like a 40-year ordeal. And at the end, we're going to come out pure devotees. Or something very different, at least from where we are right now. Maybe not quite pure devotees yet, but our experience of the world and each other and ourselves is going to be substantially different 40 years from now. That's sometimes the messaging that we get. Now this isn't, like, it can be quick. Yeah, if you're blessed if you have that perspective. But for many of us in Kali Yuga, we want to be able to download prema. Right? It's beyond a culture of I mean, if it can't come into my palm immediately, it's not real. This is what many of us have kind of been conditioned and cultured to, especially if you're coming from my generation or younger, then this is like the conditioning that we're afflicted by in Kali Yuga. So the framework that I'd like to share and help us work through a little bit today, the cycle of association, essentially takes Rupa Goswami's tears and brings them down into a more actionable place, moment to moment, day to day, week to week, month to month, in our experience of Krishna consciousness and our own lives, that gives us that feeling, okay, I'm moving. I'm overcoming things and I'm making advancement. Because when we feel like we're making advancement, what does that magically give us the impetus to do? Make more advancement. Right? It feels good when you're good at something. But when you feel like you're bad at something, it's very hard to keep going. So, does this sound exciting so far if we created that kind of framework? And Mother Schubert's already heard this, but her encouraging smile is uplifting nonetheless. I was also asked to speak once more today. And so before I get into the topic of right now, I wanted to share a seed song, as Baba and I's boss would say. There's a devotee in Detroit. He owns a nice business. And it started with like 5 people, and now it's up to 30 people. And he employs like 6 different devotees. And he's always looking to employ more devotees. He's a really sweet person. And in his company, every department, every person, every project has to have a seed song. And without that seed song, it's not allowed to go forward. They're not allowed to do anything else until a seed song is there. And it's basically, in the Vedic conception, a bija mantra, right? The bija mantra. What is your primal impetus? So I wanted to share a seed song for this discussion that we're going to have, and also the next discussion that we'll have together. And it comes from Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Who is Narottam Das Thakur? Anybody? It's a loaded question, but... Loudly? Disciple of? Lochan Das Thakur. Okay, yes. And Jiva Goswami. Not Lochan, but Lokanath. Yeah, Lokanath. Thank you. He's a pure devotee who imbibed the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Krishna, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left in a river, especially for him. Right? Who is Narottam Das Thakur is a very long question, and many wonderful books have been written about it. My favorite answer, though, is that Narottam Das Thakur is Srila Prabhupada's favorite poet. Prabhupada's favorite poet. And he gave many, many... I mean, he spoke the most essential and deepest truths in simple Bengali poetry. And we sing every morning Guru Vandana, which is coming from Srila Narottam Das Thakur. There's another famous song, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, which many devotees have sung before. We usually just sing about the first half of that song, though. But it's actually a whole, it's I think 12 verses. And the seed song that I wanted to share with you guys is from the last line of that prayer of Narottam Das Thakur, wherein he says, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Ash Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottam Das. He's very cleverly worked in the biggest secret, the biggest open secret in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy into this prayer in this simple Bengali language. Can somebody give a translation of what I just said before I share? Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Ash Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottam Das. Yes. Here, I'll let you.
I'm just trying to... Okay. So, by desiring to place the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Vaishnavas in the core of my heart, that is my access to the holy name or Namasankirtan.
Very close. We desire, Narottam Das is saying, and therefore we should also say, that we desire the lotus feet of the Guru and the Vaishnavas in our heart. This is my aspiration, my ash, my desire, Narottam Das is saying, is the association of the devotees, specifically Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, and this is the trick, this is the catch, this is the twist that we have to get if we really want to get what we say we came for, which is Krishna Prema. We have to get, as Mahaprabhu is taught, that Krishna Prema means this association of the sadhus. Therefore, I'm chanting the holy name. Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottam Das. Because I desire the association of the devotees, because I desire the association of my spiritual master, therefore I'm chanting the holy name. Now, why is this, how is this a switch? Why is this a twist? Yeah. Usually, well, not quite. Not quite. Yeah, usually we're thinking sadhu sangha is a means to an end. Usually we're looking at the devotees, and this is the case in every other religious tradition also, and this is why it's come into our own, and we still have this conception, even though our acharyas are actually pretty clear. Christianity, for example, the focus is on Jesus, but Jesus is the way to who? To God, to the Father. So you accept the Son, and by their relationship with the Son, you get the Father. But what Narottam Das is saying is that I'm going to the Father so I can spend time with the Son. I'm chanting Krishna's name so I can have the association of his devotees. The devotees are not a means to an end. They are the end. They are the goal. Sadhu Sangha. Maharaj shared today during that wonderful initiation talk that he gave that even when one achieves the goal of Krishna consciousness, still Sadhu Sangha is important. And that's established in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mule Hoi Sadhu Sangha. What does Mula mean? Mule. The root. The root of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. That's what plants the seed. That's what develops the seed. That's what nourishes the seed. Sadhu Sangha. So the second part of that verse, Krishna Prema Janma Teno Mukya Anga. Even when you get Krishna Prema, even when the goal has been achieved, still Sadhu Sangha is the Mukya Anga. Still Sadhu Sangha is the most important thing that you'll do. It's not that, okay, now, like, has anybody ever gone back and talked to their 11th grade math teacher? One person. A grateful soul. Hari Bol, everyone clap. But it's not something we generally do, right? Some of us might not even remember the name of our 11th grade math teacher. Because they were just a means to an end. They knew that too, it's okay. We were there because we had to be. We had other things to do, but they were just kind of a part of the process. And once we were done with them, and we're also part of the process for them. It's not like my 11th grade math teacher has ever called me up and said, hey, Devin, how are you doing? Oh, your name's Deva now. I didn't know that. That's never happened. Because it's a means to an end. It's a utilitarian exchange. Very different from Vaishnava relationships. Literally the opposite. The relationships that we have with the devotees are the end. That is the goal. How many of you all are parents here? So, what's that? We all have parents, and some of our parents might be here also. But how many of you are parents? Okay, so question. Are you closer to someone, or is it a deeper indication of your trust in that person that you let them spend time with you or with your children? Children. The non-parent says children. Can we hear from, Can we hear from a mom or a dad? Is it a deeper indication of your trust in a person that you let them spend time with you or with your children? Who would say children? Who would say with yourself? Okay, children have it. Children have it. You're the outlier in each situation, but it's nice. Okay. The idea is that, and this has been my experience, although I'm not a parent yet, if a parent lets you spend time with their children, like at the Rainbow Gathering, this young woman who's seen us now for 5 years, she like, Rainbow Gathering's really cool. You go, you set up Krishna camp, it's like being in Vrindavan, you just make a kunj for Krishna and the devotees to come, and you spend like a week to 10 days doing nothing but trying to survive and chant Hare Krishna. Simple living, high thinking. Staying clean takes like 2 hours. Sleeping, and then the rest of the time you're chanting and preparing prasad or distributing it. It's amazing. And so, this woman named Becky, who lives in Wisconsin, since she met us in Michigan 5 years ago, every year, without fail, she sets up camp next to our camp, next to Krishna camp. And for that 10 days, she's a devotee. She comes and takes prasad, she chants, she sends her kid to carry firewood, and she chops the boga. It's like every day for 10 years, she meditates on being a devotee. And she comes and does a lot of service. So this year, her son, Johnny, wanted to stay at the camp. And she wanted or needed to go back to the car. And so she came up to me and she said, will you watch Johnny? And I said, sure, no problem. And I took care of Johnny for an hour and a half. And she came back because it's like the cars are way, way far away. And she came back and she said, thank you so much. Normally at a place like this, I would never feel comfortable leaving Johnny alone with someone that I don't really know well. But I feel so close to you guys that I knew I could trust you. Now she would hang out with us alone all day, but to leave her child alone with us for even 20 minutes is a big deal. She did it for an hour and a half because that trust is there. So similarly, Krishna's the father. It's not that big a deal to have a relationship with the father compared to having a relationship with the children, Krishna's devotees. That's the real mercy of the Lord in our lives. Yasya prashada bhagavat prashada, yasya prashada nagati kutopi, is that we let the associate, Krishna allows us to associate with his dear ones, his priyajanas, his children that are closest to him. He lets them come into our lives. That's the real extension of his love, his mercy, his trust in us. So this is our seed song, our bij mantra, that we'll take through this discussion and the one in the afternoon also. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Ash Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottam Das or Bhakta Josh or... Okay, so the cycle of association. Now, Rupa Goswami, as I mentioned earlier, he has the 8 steps and a goal. So we also have 8 steps and a goal. And to make them, Haribol, Nityananda Param Prabhu. And to make them more easy to remember, they'll all start with A. 8 A's and a goal. So the first step in the cycle of association is one that all of the conditioned living entities are in all the time. So everyone's in the cycle of association, whether they like it or not. Just like everyone's a devotee at heart, whether they like it or not. And Maharaj actually brought up this word. It was really wonderful. Maharaj brought up 2 words, because I've amended the cycle of association a little bit. We're developing it. And Maharaj brought up 2 words in his discussion this morning that we'll find in the cycle of association. And this first one begins with everyone's condition in the material world, which we normally characterize as what? Dukkalayam ashashvatam. Suffering. Everyone's condition in this material world is suffering. The word we started out when we first created this cycle that we used to describe suffering with an A is what? What's a word for suffering that starts with A? Agony. Good one. Anxiety, anguish. There's a lot of them. What are some more? Apprehension. So the word we started with was afflicted. It's a heavy word. Afflicted. And if I was talking with a group that wasn't so conversant with Krishna consciousness, this cycle were also, who remembers Jainitai Gaur Hari Das? Sweet devotee who started his Krishna consciousness in North America here in Chicago and is now over in Michigan with us. He and I are working on a book called Being Created, which is a way to help the New Agers recognize that they're not the creators of their destiny. They're actually being created by the intention of the Lord and his devotees, and that's all of the excitement that they're feeling inside. It's not coming from them, it's coming from them. And so this book, Being Created, will share this cycle of association with them in a certain way. And so I'm going back and forth. Maybe we'll stick with that word afflicted for people that aren't so conversant with Krishna consciousness. But for those that have already come into Krishna consciousness and are actively practicing, we are making up a word for what A, the first A starts with. And that word is avoidya. Say it loudly. Avoidya. Now, what is the Sanskrit derivative of this word avoidya? Avidya. Which means ignorance. So that's going to be our first word. Avoidya. With the diacritic. What's the English derivative of this word? Avoid. Yeah. What's it mean? Popcorn. Anybody? Willful ignorance. Anybody want to compete with that definition? Yes. Avoiding Krishna. Yeah, ultimately, right? To ignore. What is that? That word ignore, what is that very close to? Ignorance, right? We talk about the mode of ignorance a lot, but we often ignore its implication. Somebody else? Yes, Parker. Yeah. Yeah, I avoid. Ignorant of what's possible. Avoiding to learn. Yeah. To keep away. What does the word avoidya or avoid indicate fundamentally? It indicates you know. You know, but what's going on? You don't want to face it. We know what's good. We know what's bad. We know what works. We know what doesn't. We know what the goal is. We know how to achieve the goal. But we're not where we want to be. Why? Avoidya. We're afflicted by avoidya. I'm trying to avoid ya. Oh, that devotee's over there. I'm going over here. If I go to the temple, the deities are going to be out. I don't want to pay my obeisance. I don't want to have to do the whole thing in the temple. I'm just going to... How many of us have done something like that? Yeah. Thank you for your honest hands. That's a silly description, but on a deeper level, this is our MO in the material world. We're constantly avoiding. And the void is considered very attractive by a whole group of so-called spiritualists. The Buddhists, the New Agers, the Mayavadis, whether it's a bright white light void or a deep dark black hole void, it's still the same principle. I'm trying to avoid being a person and having relationships through this aggrandizement of the goal of nothingness, the experience of nothing. I'm trying to make nothing seem like something so I don't have to do anything with anyone. So if we're in this situation of avoidya, what's going to get us out of it? What brought us here today? Association. Thank you. So this is the cycle of association. At every step, the way to the next step is association. Sometimes that association is with yourself. Sometimes that association is with the devotees. And not even necessarily the devotees that wear tilak and dhotis, but those people in your life that you trust. That's a different conversation for a different day, but I hope that is clear for everyone here. Doesn't mean that every devotee in your life, so to speak, has to be wearing tilak and a dhoti or a sari. But those people that you trust and that you know have your best interest. So, the next A, if we want to get out of avoidya, and for, again, those people that aren't so conversant with Krishna consciousness, they're afflicted. The first thing they have to recognize is what? I'm afflicted. Something's wrong. I'm not perfect. I'm not powerful. I'm not happy. Right? Chapter 16, the Donald Trump monologue. I'm perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. By my plan, so many wonderful things have happened. By my more plans, so many more wonderful things will have happened. All my enemies have been crushed and all of my relatives have been uplifted. He's reading Bhagavad Gita every day on CNN. So, admitting, that's our next A. Admitting. Another A, as an addendum or an aside. The Donald Trump comment wasn't a commentary on any particular political stance. My personal experience and opinion is that Donald Trump as a person is so abhorrent that discussing any policy which he puts in front of him is discrediting humanity in general. To give him the credit of thinking that he deserves to discuss policy is wrong fundamentally. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. It has to do with him being the type of person or non-person that he is. So, admitting, it's very tough. It's very hard. We don't want to. But eventually we do, somehow or other. We admit that there's something wrong. And then from admitting, we start to do something else. Because when you admit, what is that implying? Asking? Inquiring? I wish that's what admitting. Yeah, there's something bad about admitting. I'm weak. It had to be twisted out of me. Right? I admit. Okay, yeah, it's not the best thing. Usually after an admission though, there's a big but. A big ugly but. Yes, this is the beginning of surrender, absolutely. We admit something's wrong, but it's not all wrong, it's not all bad. And if I did it this way, then that would happen, and I think, you know, it's still manageable, salvageable. Anybody relate to the process of admitting, right? So we have to get off of the platform of admitting and keeping all these buts. And come to the place of accepting. It's our third A. Whoops. I should just leave the cap off so I don't have to take it off each time. Accepting. Now what does this word accepting imply? Alone. Allow. Okay, allowing. Yeah. You're sticking with A's, that's nice. Maybe we'll work allowing in later. Yes. Acknowledging. Yeah. It's more honest, isn't it? It's more honest. There's a beautiful verse in the third canto, Kapila Muni, and he's explaining that in order, those who are qualified to relish the pastimes of the Lord are sadhavas. Please say that word with me. Sadhava. Those who are qualified to relish the pastimes of the Lord are sadhavas. How does Prabhupada translate in the word for word a sadhava? Yes! Haribol Nityananda Pram Prabhu Ki Jai. A thoroughly honest person. Today we just saw an initiation ceremony. Some of you have maybe heard the class or lecture that Srila Prabhupada, he shared this story several times. But there was one sage and he was approached by two people to give initiation. And from each person, he asked the same question. What is your gotra? What's your lineage? What's your family? And the one person was very excited to answer that question because he had a very prestigious lineage. He had a very nice gotra and his family was all qualified Brahmins and yes, yes, yes. And the implication was, you're going to be lucky to give me initiation. You'll be very fortunate to have me as your disciple. The other person who had approached this Muni for initiation, he didn't know his gotra. Why? Can anyone remember who's heard the Prabhupada tell this pastime? Yeah, he didn't know. Why didn't he know? His mom doesn't know. Why doesn't his mom know? She was with many men. I remember Prabhupada saying she was a prostitute, but maybe, whatever the situation is, she was with many men and she didn't know which one was the father of that son. How many of us would be able to say that to our spiritual master if they're asking such a question? Prabhupada in the 13th chapter, text 8 through 12, that beautiful, these are not, all these things I declare to be knowledge and anything else I declare to be ignorance. In the purport, Prabhupada defines, he contextualizes all these words we take for granted like compassion and nonviolence and humility. He frames them in a Krishna conscious way instead of the mundane definitions that were usually, so it's a nice dictionary of Krishna consciousness, that particular purport. And there Prabhupada says, to be able to tell the truth even to your enemy, that's honesty. So to be a sadhava, a thoroughly honest person, this devotee said, I don't know who my dad is because my mom doesn't know who my dad is because she's slept with so many men that we don't know. The Muni said, you are a brahmana. You are capable and ready. You are qualified to receive initiation. The other person he dismissed. Although he was raised externally in the more qualified situation, that quality of honesty hadn't developed yet. So to be a sadhava is essential to actually take sangha, to actually associate with the sadhus. We have to be sadhavas, and this is all that's required. That's why Kapila Muni says it. The only thing you have to be is a thoroughly honest person. You don't have to be a perfect sadhaka. You just need to be a sadhava. If you go to the right doctor, and the doctor understands your disease, the doctor is the one that cures it. But what's your responsibility in that equation? When you go see the doctor, what's your responsibility? Yeah, you honestly lay out your symptoms. If you cough all the time and blood's coming up and you've smoked for 30 years, but when you go see the doctor, you're embarrassed and you say, no, I don't smoke. I was scraping some paint off the wall a few days ago and, you know, this started. He's going to miss something, isn't he? He could be totally qualified, totally capable. But if he thinks it's paint chips in your lungs instead of 30 years of nicotine and tar, he's not going to give you the right therapy to address the real situation. So are we being a sadhava at this admitting to accepting the essential, the lubrication there is honesty. And it's essential at every step, but it's especially important here. It's a big hump we cross. When we, from admitting, yeah, but, that but gets annihilated by the honesty. Actually, it's all bad. It's not good at all. There's no justification for it. It is what it is, and it's beneath who I am as a devotee, as a spirit soul, but yeah, it's there. Who's ever gotten to that place in their relationship with someone where you just said, yeah, that's what it is? What did you feel? Popcorn some one word feelings when you finally just admitted it. Relief. I should say accepted it. Relief. Yeah, relief. Humbling, yeah. Shelter. Yeah, wow. Beautiful. Vulnerable. Do we like to feel vulnerable? Did anybody go to school and have a poster on the wall, become vulnerable? Anybody go in that classroom? No, you become a superhero, LeBron James slamming something into a... We've never been taught to become vulnerable, but that's actually what it's going to take. It's beautiful. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, so now we're finally accepting. Wow. And there's a relief that's there. And there's some humility that's coming. And we're taking association. We're with the devotees now. We're honest. They see where we are. And when they see where we are, what starts to happen? Yeah. The relationship starts to become reciprocal, doesn't it? We start to see where the devotees are. And that develops an awareness. That's our next A for those writing. Awareness. So the accepting is all of our, it's our shortcoming in the situation. And because you missed, so this whole framework is the cycle of association. And the idea is that it, on a more kind of day-to-day level, we can feel like we're making advancement in our Krishna consciousness if we're facing our shortcomings through this framework. So later on, I'm going to ask you all, I can prompt you now through Prabhu's nice question. I'm going to ask you to think of something that you've been on the Avoidya platform about. And then I'm going to ask you to get into partners and get that out a little. Share it with each other. So calculate now how deep you're willing to go. How much you're willing to share. It might depend on who you're partnered with also. But we're going to go through this practically together once we're through the framework. So you're accepting all of all the bad has happened. But now, as Mata pointed out, now a relationship has come with the devotee. So an awareness not only of the bad stuff, but also the good stuff starts to come out. So thank you for asking, what awareness? I saw another hand. Oh, Harishan Prabhu. At the end, yeah. At the end before we get into it with each other. So we're at the platform of awareness now, and I'm aware, I'm starting to recognize the nuances of where that darkness came in my own life. I'm starting to see what part I was playing in it, and one part my circumstances were playing in it, and what kind of adjustments am I going to have to make. And I'm also starting to see more of the goal in that awareness, in that of the association that I'm receiving, because remember, it's the cycle of association. I'm also starting to develop a positive sense of what to do. And this switch also happens in Srila Rupa Goswami's 9 processes of bhakti, or 9 steps, or 8 stages in a goal of Krishna consciousness. At a point in that equation, we stop running away from Maya, and we start running towards Krishna. When does that happen in Rupa Goswami's paradigm? When do we stop running away from Maya and start running towards Krishna? Nishtha. That's right. We're no longer focused so much on all the anartas, all that's bad, all that's wrong, all that I don't do well. We're actually much more focused on how wonderful Krishna is. But I'd like to point out that, again, because we're trying to make this a workable framework that we can bring into our everyday life and feel that sense of advancement, some of us might still be far away from recognizing on a deep level how wonderful Krishna is, what color his dhoti is today, and what song he's playing on his flute right now, what Mother Yashoda served him for breakfast. Those details, which are there and real, still might be far away from our perception. But it's not so hard. In fact, every one of us already have today and could a lot more every day recognize how wonderful Krishna's devotees are. How wonderful Krishna's devotees are. How wonderful Prabhupada is. How wonderful Srila Ramapada Maharaj is to bring us all here together. I was thinking back to my first experience of the Holy Name retreat. I came, like, I think 6, 7, Uma was reminding me that it was here, because I was thinking it was in the winter time that I'd had this experience. But this was the place where I first chanted more than 16 rounds in a very focused way. And that was like, it was a, you know, a floodgate of sorts. It's like, wow, you can do that? And this is what'll happen if you do that? That's a cool idea. I think I'm going to keep doing that. So, without Maharaj and the many devotees who have served this gathering for many years, I wouldn't have had that experience. And I'm certain, Rati Prabhu says he tries to come every year for this gathering. I was so happy and surprised to see him here. It's not because he just has to come because, you know, he's on a time card or something. His boss will fire him. He's having some experience. And so that comes through the effort, the yajna, that the good qualities that the devotees are employing to create this space, despite the material energy around us. There's so much we can appreciate about the devotees. And so at the stage of awareness, not only does our own darkness become very clear, but the bright light of the sadhu sangha also becomes visible then. And its nature, its quality starts to become apparent. And at this point, it's safe to start the next A. I'll use the word safe to try and give a hint as to what the next A might be. What wasn't safe until like right about now? Until you have some awareness of the situation, what do you want to try to avoid? Starts with an A. No, not association. We're always associating. Assurance, no. Yeah, who said action? Thank you, Mukunda. Action. We don't want to act yet until we know why and what and how we're acting. What did I do with that red marker? Oh, it fell. Sorry? Black is better. Action. There we go. Okay. So action. Because we become aware of the situation. Before we weren't aware, so it's literally stabbing in the dark. You know this expression? Just stabbing in the dark. Prabhupada talks about the different men touching the body of the elephant. Oh, I think it's a tree trunk. Oh, I think it's a snake. Oh, I think it's a big leaf. Without that awareness, you don't actually know what you're dealing with. As Krishna says in chapter 5, when the sadhu is present, they light up everything, like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So now that we're taking the devotee's association in an honest way, awareness is coming, and it's safe to start acting. From the platform of action, as Krishna says in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, divisions of faith, what happens when we follow good instruction, which is what we probably received in this realm? We've received some indication from the association, the devotees. We're starting to act based on their indication, their instruction, their example. What starts to develop? Taste, not quite. Yeah, faith. This is how to develop faith practically. Another word for faith is trust. And trust develops over time. Right? I gave that example earlier of that woman leaving her child at Krishna camp at Rainbow and trusting the devotees that her child's going to be okay. Do you think she would have done that 5 years ago? No, probably not. But this year she was willing to do that. And maybe one day she'll just decide we should always stay at Krishna camp. That's how it works. Right? You didn't chant any rounds the first day you walked in here. And you avoided chanting as long as possible. Until one person got you to somehow or other chant one round. This devotee Tirthapad in Detroit, he told me a story of a sadhu in Vrindavan. And this sadhu went out every day asking Madhukari, like all the other sadhus do. But this sadhu was unique because he would always go to this one guy's door that everybody knew, don't bother going to this guy's door. Nobody bothered going to this guy's door because this guy never gave anything. Nothing, ever. And he was kind of mean about not giving anything. So the other sadhus, they didn't bother. But this sadhu, he made it a point to go see that guy every day. No matter what. Even if he didn't need anything, want anything, he didn't knock on any other door, he went and saw this guy every day. And that made the guy who didn't give anything really mad. So mad that one day, he opened the door and gave him something. He threw ash on him. If you're from India, you know what that means. If you're not from India, then it may not seem such a big deal. It's like spitting on someone. He threw ash on him. And the sadhu started jumping up and down. Haribo! That made the guy even madder. Why was he mad? He wants the guy to be angry. He wants him to be upset. He wants him to be insulted. But instead he's happy. Why is the sadhu happy? That's right. This is the guy screaming, why are you so happy? Because you gave me something. One day you will give me everything. So this is what the sadhus do. They're very persistent in knocking on the door of our avoidya and getting us to give something. But at a point, we become accepting of that, and we become excited about that, and aware of that, and we realize through the action, this is good for me. That brings us to the stage which some of you have said already some of you have used this A word. You skipped ahead a little bit. Once we start acting, and it works, what do we develop? Not quite. Save that one. Before affection. Yes. Oh, you're cheating. You know. Appreciation. And I'm going to put in there also what you just said. Affection. Yes. Can everyone see these for the most part? None of the markers want to show up very nicely. So, appreciation and affection. Who's ever been to downtown Chicago? Everybody. Who's ever appreciated a building in downtown Chicago? Nityananda Prabhu, describe something about that building that you've appreciated. Oxygen. Now I might undo my own example, but can you name the architect who constructed? Yes. Thank you. I was worried when you said it's an architectural marvel. Then I was, it might be one of those famous ones that everybody... Prabhu appreciated this building so much. Practically, it sounds like every day that he lived in that apartment, he thought in some way fondly of that building, right? As a wonderful piece of craftsmanship. But not once did he ever think of who created that wonderful piece of craftsmanship. And what is it about them which allowed them to create that? This is the transition between appreciation and affection. You can appreciate many things, and we do all the time. Nice building, nice food, nice benches. Every one of us have received benefit of these benches, but not one of us has ever asked who built them. Where did they come from? Who brought them here? Who carried them in? We didn't ask. We didn't care. We appreciate them. We're glad they're here. Affection is personal. And so again, a shift has happened. This is the two big shifts in this cycle are from here to here and from here to here. Because this is a shift from the impersonal kind of appreciation that we develop as pious, God-conscious people. Everything's nice, everyone's nice, yes. To deeply being moved by the person that has done so much for us. By the people that have done so much for us. And wanting to know, who are these people that have done all of this for me? I wouldn't be anything without them. I want to know everything about them. That shift happens from appreciation to affection. And once we're at affection, well, Prabhupada used it, so I'll use it also, the example of romance between a boy and a girl. Who's ever been romantically attracted to someone else? Right? You have that affection for them. When that person's around, no one else is around. Right? No one else really matters. You're just waiting for that moment that that person's going to come by, be around, do something in the vicinity of you to give some indication of their affection or their attention, and that's the next word. Maharaj brought it up in the class this morning, and we talk about it all the time in our Krishna consciousness. But the funny thing is that we try to, they've all quit. It's such an important, oh, we finally found this is good. It's going to be the brightest word on the board. We talk about attention, or what's the conjunction that we usually use instead? Rapt. That's a conjunction, attentive. We talk about attentive chanting all the time. But we're doing it from this place of appreciation. Yeah, the holy name is this nice thing, and it's going to get me some stuff. Basically, it's going to get me out of my, it's going to save me from my lust, my anger, my greed, my envy. And so we try to appreciate the holy name and therefore be attentive to the holy name, and we skip out on affection, really loving, really bringing our heart, our gratitude to that relationship with the holy name, and therefore we actually don't have attention. When you have attention for the holy name, when you're chanting attentively, as Prabhupada, Brahmananda Prabhu, one new bhakta, and Prabhupada were there. The new bhakta asked, Prabhupada, how will I know when I'm chanting quality rounds? And Prabhupada said, stay steady with your 16 rounds. He didn't really answer the question. So then Brahmananda Prabhu, being the senior disciple and, you know, knowing the heart of his spiritual master and recognizing that there was some disconnect between him and the bhakta, he tried to kind of translate. He said, no, Prabhupada, what he's saying is, you know, how when he's chanting his 16 rounds, does he really know that he's chanting them nicely? And so then Prabhupada got a little upset with Brahmananda. What did Prabhupada say? No. He said, there's no question of you chanting quality rounds. He said, when you ask, why Swamiji said only 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? Then there's a question of quality. Because again, when you're on that platform of affection, you're always wondering, when is that person that I have that feeling for going to be around? And what are they doing now that they're not with me? And when they come, what am I going to do to get their attention? So real attention, real attentiveness to the holy name, to the sadhus, it comes from affection, which comes from appreciation, which comes from acting based on the good association that we've received via our attempt to recognize our avoidya. Krishna says, yoga yukto munir brahma nature nadigachati. If you're a thoughtful person, Muni, thinking about yoga yukto, how to connect with me, then nature narigachati, you attain me without delay. What Krishna is saying there is that he's right there in this experience. As soon as we become actively thoughtful about this dynamic of associating with the sadhus, because why? Sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. This is how we get the perfection. This is this perfection also. It's the sadhana and the sadhya. Going back to our seed song, Sri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Ash Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottam Das. This is the goal, is the association of the devotees and my spiritual master. That's the yoga yukto munir brahma. That's the thoughtfulness. How do I get away from avoidya, stop avoiding you, and start associating actively, coming to this place of deep affection and attention? And we've got our eight here, which means that we finally get to the goal, which is association. We could say that would be very meta if we, the final, if it was association. So it's definitely more association. Like we said, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mule, and then Krishna Prema Janma Tena Mukya Anga. Association is still the goal. It's not a means to an end, it is the end. So yes, association. I was thinking of a different day though. Attachment, okay, that's a good one. It's not punchy enough though. Achievement, yeah, or attainment. We had that in the list last week. You would have been right last week. But we've changed it a little bit. Adoration, it's not punchy, not strong enough. Amazement, that's what we've put there now. But it's fluid. You guys get the point. Amazement. Who's ever been, when you just stop and think for a minute about a particular devotee, you're actually amazed. Yeah. Why don't we stop and take that kind of thought more often? Right? That's what we're supposed to do during Guru Puja. That's what we're supposed to do during Bhagavatam class. But often we don't. But when we do, when we're actually amazed, that's what we're going for. That's what everybody's paying hundreds of dollars to see, whatever spectacle they've concocted at Soldier Field. They want to feel amazed. They want to feel stunned. They want to feel in awe. And so amazement is the goal. And from amazement, because it is a cycle, we end up back at avoidya. How does that happen? Offenses, okay. That's possible, yeah. We could cover up our progress. But it's actually a cycle. It's like one step, then another step, then another step. Haribol! From that newfound perspective, it becomes clearer how covered over we are. When we really consider how amazing, thank you, Ma, how amazing that devotee is, we recognize once again how not so amazing I am right now. Not so much amazement, nothing so much amazing happening here. Happening there, yes, happening here, not so much. So, this part of the cycle is one that we can live in all the time. It's a step we can take all the time, and it can happen very quick. We don't have to be in that, like, resentful, begrudging. What do I mean by begrudging? Doing it unwillingly, yeah. We don't have to be in that begrudging stage of avoidya and admitting all the time. Although we might be. It's like there's a saying in English, pulling teeth. This doesn't have to be pulling teeth. This can happen quick. If we know this is how it works, once I recognize some pure quality in the Vaishnavas, that mirror of their purity shows me some more dirt that I've got to scrub off. It can happen quick. I go from, I've been avoiding that dirt, to admitting it's there and accepting it and becoming aware by sharing the experience with those I trust. That can happen really quick. And then on this side, the key is maintenance. So over here, the key is frequency. Do it often. Over here, it's maintenance. Maintain those relationships with those people who have given you an amazing experience in life. Don't throw them to the side that, okay, yes, now I've understood, now I understand, now I got what I needed from you, and like our 11th grade math teacher, we're done with them. That is not honoring the affection that we've given them and they've given us. Okay, so now we'll take questions and comments before we break off. Yeah. Harishan. Oh, Mike, yes. How are we doing on time? Okay, good. Yes.
Thank you for this very, very insightful and important presentation on how to go through the stages of development in a relationship with devotees. And also pointing out some of the work that we have to do in our own selves. There's two things that come up in my mind. One, it's just a practical observation and also my experience that certain human beings are a little bit more emotionally involved than others. For whatever reason, they just were hit with the trauma at the age of 8 and they were forced to acknowledge the reality in life. And that makes them extremely open to like self-purification and acknowledgement and recognizing the good in others. I mean, I've met 14-year-olds who are like profoundly full of more gratitude than like older 30-year-olds.
Than me.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what happened to you? He's like, well, when I was 6, my parents threw me out. I was like, really? Okay. So that's one thing, and I wonder how that affects this scheme. The other thing also is that I feel that it's not purely an individual's, you could say, it's not purely my own ability to introspect and receive and move forward. The environment plays a big role. Certain environments certainly facilitate admittance and acceptance and acknowledgement and appreciation and action much more rapidly than other environments. So what role does one's own emotional evolution have? What role does the environment play in helping somebody go through these stages?
Thank you for the question. It's really more of a comment. I would say that the awareness dynamic brings in that space, you become, and I mentioned it also, you become sensitive to the dynamic that your environment plays. And that becomes something that, I used to sell books door to door, actually right here in Chicago. I was in Highland Park, Radhanath Maharaj's neighborhood where he grew up. That's why I was going door to door selling basically encyclopedias right before I met the devotees. And it was a tough job, door to door, you can imagine, the age of the internet, selling encyclopedias. And, right? And I did that for 5 summers before I met the devotees. And there was a couple of things I learned in that process that helped me to recognize the value of Krishna consciousness when the devotees shared it with me. One of the things I learned in that experience of going door to door for 5 years was that you have to learn to control the controllables. And so that could be like the Bija mantra for this awareness stage, is that there are certain things within your power to adjust, and there are certain things that aren't within your power to adjust. Sometimes I've seen Vaisheshika Prabhu talk about the sphere of concern, which is usually much bigger than the sphere of influence, right? We have apps on our phone which tell us who got elected in the mayoral race in Istanbul. Right? But we still yell at our child in that same petty way every day. Knowing, I shouldn't yell at my child in that petty way anymore. We should address the situation. There's something deeper going on. But instead of doing that, we avoid that conversation with our child because I need to read about who got elected as mayor of Istanbul. And then I need to see what Apple stock did today and, you know, when they're coming out with their new product so I know when to invest next. And area of concern. But then our actual area of influence is much smaller. And then I forget how he termed it, but last I heard him share this, he shared another smaller sphere, which is, I think we'll just call it area of action. What you're actually going to do. Maybe impact. Yeah, the purport was what you're actually going to do. Just because you have influence over something doesn't mean you should do it. Who's learned that in Krishna consciousness? Learning, right? Thank you for that honest answer. Yeah, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. So it's a big dynamic, and I'm glad that you've pointed out that we're not in a vacuum of our own emotional capacity and the devotees around us. There's a lot of things that are influencing our experience, but that becomes clearer, those dynamics become clearer when, in my experience, we're active in our relationships first. Because our relationships are primary in Krishna consciousness. That's our philosophy. And so by focusing on relationships, the resources or the circumstances are more symptomatic and follow the head. Right? So that's why I would still put the emphasis here first. And then, yes, why the context matters now has a more of a meaning because the relationship has been clarified. Anybody else comment or question before we break off into... Yes, Nityananda Prabhu. Can he have the microphone? Thank you.
The point of attention or attentive.
Yes.
I understand you're talking about the festival of the holy name. You're talking about chanting attentively. In addition to that, I have a stronger conviction that when there is affection, we are attentive more in terms of the relationship, not just an activity. So we are attentive to, I would say, the needs and concerns of Kishore Kishori, devotees, not just that I'm chanting attentively, I'm sort of unaware or inattentive to other aspects of my relationship with Krishna.
Yes, thank you for bringing that out. I'm sorry if that's what I wanted to make clear there. So if it wasn't, thank you Nityananda Prabhu for restating and elaborating on that. Because we try to chant attentively in a mechanistic way, not giving attention to the relationship, but as a means to an end, we don't actually chant attentively because the affection's not there. It's like a gun without a bullet. It's like a lamp without a light bulb. Without affection in Krishna consciousness, there's no attention because Krishna consciousness means affection. So if your so-called attentive chanting is just, okay, I'm sitting straight and I'm breathing right and I'm enunciating every mantra, so now I'm chanting attentively, you're missing something, or rather someone. So when your chanting stops being about something and starts being about someone, that's when you're actually chanting with affection, and you'll quickly develop that attention. Because as we shared, when you actually have affection, nobody else matters except that person. That level of attention comes in. Whether they're there, they're not there, you're constantly thinking about the holy name, about the sadhus, about those that have given such a wonderful thing to us. Okay, so Mother Shubhra, last, yeah.
As you were mentioning these two shifts, they are the bigger shifts. So the second shift that you mentioned from appreciation to affection, can you shed some more of your personal sharing on how to strengthen that affection aspect or that shift?
I wish I had more realization on it, but... It's really about inquiry. Yeah. Just as in the example that we were bringing out with Nityananda Prabhu in that building that he admired, what would have transposed appreciation to affection in that situation was asking, inquiring, who made that building? Why did they design it that particular way, in that particular place? And so inquiry is the engine. I just had, again, Rainbow, a person who we met 5 years ago in Michigan, another person that has been around a bunch, comes to Krishna camp every year and makes Krishna camp his camp and is a devotee for those 10 days. And I realized, like, I don't know anything about this guy. I just appreciate that he chops the wood and he moves the pots and he cleans up the camp and he knows how to get rid of riffraff. I just appreciate those things about him, but I don't know anything about him really. I've kind of taken for granted all the stuff he does, but I don't really know who he is. So I decided I'm going to find out. I sat down and I asked him questions until I noticed he didn't want to share so much. He was a little apprehensive, but once I cracked him, once I helped him get through that avoidance of opening up to us in general and showed him, like, I really want to have that deeper relationship with you, then a bunch of cool stuff came out that gave me a deep, you know, I felt some affection for him then. And it moved away from just, I like this guy because he's helpful at the camp, to I really feel like I have a friend now who I feel connected to at a heart level. I understand it. I recognize his intentions, and they're very similar to mine, and I feel mine have been strengthened by hearing his. So I would say to give a practical tip, inquiry, when we want to deepen affection, take our appreciation and use that appreciation to inform our inquiry, and that will bring us to affection. Okay. Oh. Okay, sure, Prabhu.
Would you say that gratitude, you said inquiry, I was thinking of gratitude. Would you say that gratitude is something that takes one from appreciation to affection? I was thinking of the building example.
Of
the example of the building and the
architect. Oh, the building, yes, yes.
Let's say I had inquired and found out that that was the name of the architect, whatever. Yeah. Unless I would feel grateful that what they did impacted or affected my life positively in this way, I wouldn't feel affection. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's architects somewhere dead and gone. We're talking of devotees that we are with.
I'm with you. Gratitude. Sometimes, just personally, this word gratitude is like, okay, be grateful, Prabhu. It's like telling somebody to be humble. I've experienced myself, real gratitude is more of a symptom than an action. However, to meditate on the symptoms of devotional service is something we're encouraged to do. So the desire to be grateful, I would say, is definitely, you know, asking myself, why aren't I grateful for all that I've received is sometimes a really helpful way to become grateful. So yes, thank you. I'm going to stop there just so that we have a few minutes because, yeah, we have only. So I'm going to ask you to partner off now. Now everyone's looking around. Who do I? Partner off. Don't be just the person next to you. Don't try to control that which isn't controllable. The person next to you, get together and have a conversation with each other. I'm not going to structure it anything beyond what's on the board here. Have a conversation with each other about what you're avoiding. And who can you spend your time with to move through it? Who's that person? We already all know that person or that group of people that we're avoiding to not have to transform our consciousness. So what can some people, this is really pinching a few people. So share on those lines for the next 6-7 minutes, and then we'll come back together and we'll just popcorn around some of what came out before we all jump into service hour. Hare Krishna. I'll let you guys wrap up another minute or so to come to a close on your discussions.
So, he says that we can have a concrete plan. He says that he's at stage 2 right now, which is admitted. And he says that we can have a concrete plan only for the next stage. So,
and my reasoning is this, that it's kind of hard to have a realistic plan for the whole thing because I'm not even there yet.
Let's talk later.
Sure.
We'll talk, yeah. Because I can tell this is a few minutes left for the whole group. Okay, devotees, let's bring it back together. Turn back into your circle. I'm going to ask a quick popcorn. 10 one-word answers from 10 different devotees. How you feel about the workshop? Some realization or something that's come out, especially about the discussion that you just had amongst yourselves. 10 answers. Amazing. Hare Krishna. Very meta. Honesty. In touch with yourself. Practical. Awesome. Revealing. Practical. Surprisingly fluid. Novel. Directional. Amazing. Okay. What's that?
Captivating.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so it sounds like you guys did a lot of nice work together. I'm going to ask another popcorn. I'm going to give the mic this time. Who would like to share what came out in the discussion briefly within the context of about 2 to 3 sentences because we're crunching in on time now? I'm going to open it up. The next discussion, the topic actually won't take me so long to cover, so we're going to take the first 15 minutes to keep hashing through this because I can feel the excitement that you guys have around some of the things that you were sharing. So we'll have a little more Q&A and comment time on the next discussion that I have. But just 2-3 sentences, who would like to share what happened for them in their group?
I have been thinking about something and I thought I was avoiding to look at it. But as I was sharing, I felt like I'm moving from avoidance to accepting. So it has moved. So there is a shift.
Along the similar lines, whenever there is avoidance, it is easy to blame the other person, but what are the steps you've given us and in the process of doing the exercise? It was more moving towards introspection and the blame was not blaming the other person, but it was more of self-introspecting myself and what I can do next.
The impression is very different than the first time for me, this presentation. And even that would help me in understanding the building steps. So for me, from moving from appreciation to affection, what came right now was this, ask not what they have done for me, ask what can I do for my good.
Beautiful.
I didn't get it.
So I was just saying that what came for me, part of it was a gift from both of you when I asked the question of how to move from appreciation to affection, the inquisitiveness and the gratitude. Ask not what they have done for me, ask what I can do for my beloved.
Beautiful. Okay, so I want to thank my partner Aditya. He was the way that he answered the question the first few times was also framed in a kind of avoiding way, which created a great example. His super soul sacrificed him so that he could give us this. He was framing it, and maybe some, I just wanted to throw it out there because maybe it happened with some of you also. When faced with having to say something negative or bad about ourselves, often we frame it in this indirect way. Well, I should chant more. I should read more. I should do more service at the temple. Rather than starting from the root, which is recognizing that we should do those things, but we're not doing it because we're avoiding that, admitting that there's this negative situation I'm attached to. And it's this, as you can tell, it's a deep discussion, but we're attached to our suffering because our suffering is our identity. That's why we don't want to give it up. At the root, it's who we think we are. We think we are that suffering. And because the soul is so desperate to exist, it's willing to exist in a state of suffering rather than an uncertain place where I may not exist, this place of Krishna consciousness. So as you're moving through, make sure you're directly addressing that which you are not being, that darkness. Speak to that first. And that really catalyzes the entire situation, the whole cycle. So thank you all. Please give yourselves a hand for your wonderful participation. Thank you for your patience with me also. Again, usually it's for my own purification that I have to do these things. So whatever came out that was unsettling, please forgive it. And I thank again Sundari Radha for organizing us all together and inviting me to come. Hare Krishna.